It's time to get real, reality TV aficionados. Welcome to the Giorgio Says Podcast. I'm your host, the one and only Giorgio Takanakis, and I'm here serving you the juiciest updates on all your favorite reality shows weekly, as well as the hottest pop culture trends, and even exclusive interviews that will leave you wanting more. This podcast will keep you on the edge of your seat. We definitely need to talk about this. The Giorgio Says Podcast starts now.
All right, my friends, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. We are here with Caitlin to recap the latest episode of The Valley titled Capri Chaos. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Giorgio. I'm so glad to be here. I'm loving our Wednesdays and Thursdays together.
I know. Listen, I was just thinking if based on our conversation, because we were supposed to start this like almost an hour ago at this point, but we can never really get started on anything. I was like, if you live next door or something, we would probably never get anything done. We'd just be sitting out on the front stoop drinking coffee and
oh my God.
Being
be hyped up on some espresso just going off. We are never for a shortage of words with each other, that's for sure.
No, there's always something going on. So much so is before we get into the Valley recap, we have a couple little quick tea topics that we need to discuss because yesterday found out that potentially Hilaria Baldwin talked to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills execs. That's interesting. Also, we did get some of that audio from the Real Housewives of Orange County ladies who did their final cast trip in London. And we need to dive into that little situation between Shannon and Tamra, because when Queens of Bravo posted that audio, I almost was like, I can't even tell you how many times I listened to it because I was trying to decode it, you know, and put it through like softwares to see if I can pull the out. What did she say?
Like an episode of Law and Order.
Yes, exactly. That's what it feels like lately talking about Bravo. But let's get into some quick tea.
You're listening to Giorgio Says.
All right, guys, thank you so much. All right, so let's talk about the Hilaria Baldwin of it all, because I really think I think last season before it started, I think if I'm not mistaken, I feel like Kyle threw her name out before. I don't feel like this is a new thing. I think this is just the first time where we're seeing like a report that she actually did possibly meet with execs. But a lot of people pointed out it's like she lives in New York though. But it's like
that's what I was gonna say.
But they're saying in this In Touch article that it would be fine if, you know, they're open if she wanted to move. Well, I mean, listen, we've seen this in other franchises, right? Mm-hmm. People move.
Larsa.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They will move if that's where the job is needed. Other shows outside of Bravo, like Basketball Wives, have been known to have the ladies pack up from where they really live and go to one location because that's just where the franchise is based. So it's not out of the ordinary. So that's not throwing me off too much. Plus, she's going to have a lot of time on her hands.
Yeah, with Alec, because last we heard he was going to they were charging him with manslaughter.
He's gonna do time, no?
Or they haven't gotten that I don't think they've gotten that far yet. Okay. The armor on that set,
she's
her name?
Doing time, right?
I believe so. You know, yeah, that's a whole other bag. But Hillary being on Beverly Hills. It's interesting because Hillary, I refuse to call her Hilaria.
I was just going to say, are we calling her Hillary now?
She's what, Hillary from Boston, I think it is, or from Connecticut or something. You know, I've seen her be willing to really bite back in comments and go after people who come after her. But, you know, with that many children,
that's a lot of kids, man.
I am not personally interested in watching a ton of scenes where Hillary is dealing with the 12 kids, however many it is, and then, you know, defending her yoga and how many kids she continues to have. That's your choice, whatever. But that part I'm not interested in. Could I find her interesting? Maybe. I'm not totally poo-pooing the idea. It's an interesting thought, and it kind of surprises me that Kyle would be so interested in bringing her on. Maybe she's too scared of Bette Midler coming on. She knows she would read her for filth, and that's probably why. But I would prefer to see Bette Midler just for the fun of it. But I could see
Bette
it working.
Midler, Hilaria Baldwin, and Dorit, and Sutton, and...
No!
I would literally, that would be iconic. Are you joking? That conversation, that
throw in
argument?
Kathy as well. We're done.
Come on, the sound bites alone, man.
I mean,
the sound bites alone. Oh,
just to see Kathy and Bette together would be hysterical to me. I would love to see what Kathy's response would, I'm sorry, what Bette's response to any of the things that Kathy says, like, who is Hunky Dory? I feel like Bette would have the most incredible yes and for that.
They probably could go. They seem like they're very on the same page when it comes to humor and stuff. So I think that would be such a fabulous idea if they really are serious about it. Now, I said yesterday when the news came out that was being alleged, I was like, this could be a disaster or it could be amazing because... considering there is a lot of story there that we already have been talking about. So people are already obviously familiar with the name, regardless of what is attached to it. But she does come from Hollywood, and this is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And this is one franchise where I do think it's okay to have a splash of that in there, because that is realistic. If you are in Beverly Hills, you're going to bump elbows with someone from Hollywood. So... mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It's a gamble for sure.
Yeah, I would love to see her and Dorit face off with their Spanish and pretending that they have accents.
That
how do you say cucumber when her real she doesn't have a Spanish accent? That's not me making fun of a Spanish accent.
She
that's
basically
fun of
showed Dorit.
Hillary's.
She showed Dorit up by like 10. She was like, "You didn't even go full throttle with that mashup of an accent. I picked one." accent and stuck to my niche, baby.
Yeah, she knows her brand.
She does. So I'll give her that. But we've got to skip from Beverly Hills over to London quickly, because I don't know if you heard the audio. I'm sure you have. It's that scream from Shannon is unforgettable, by the way. We didn't need a video. I knew it was Shannon.
Yeah. Didn't need it.
Two most iconic voices on reality TV. When they're yelling, you know who's yelling. You don't have to be like, who's that?
Oh, Shannon. And you just know her hands were up here. She was waving traffic, directing planes to landing.
She probably caused so many car accidents from sitting by that window, because cars were like, what in the? Oh, shit. Oh, she's just in there as a patron. She's not a cross guard. No, I mean, listen, the funny thing when you listen to the audio is it's clearly they're arguing, right? But it's about Shannon calling Tamara out for being, you know, someone who drinks and gets very vicious and mean. And then we hear Tamara just like, I just think it's a little rich, though, that Shannon is. At least this season. Give it one season, Shannon, before you bring up someone else's drinking as an issue. Okay. Let's have some empathy, babes. You took
Let
a
it
chunk
breathe
out
a sec.
Of someone's you took a chunk out of someone's front part of their house. Okay. Jeez. You have no room to be quiet. Like, I'm serious. Like, I literally, she was going on and on about the drinking. And listen, I'm not one to tell anyone anything about that, but when you have a DUI that's been shown via video of how you were driving and what you did, I would have many seats when it comes to talking about alcohol consumption.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure Tamara had been going off on her about her own alcohol consumption, which I have a feeling that Shannon was sick and tired of hearing about it, is all I could imagine that would be, that would bring her to a point to actually feel comfy talking about someone else's drinking. That's the only thing I can think of, because it wouldn't make sense under any other context to be sit, just like you're saying, like, we gotta let that, you know, Dewey breathe a little bit. I at least we know it's probably not going to be a dud of a season. I mean, we've heard that there was fighting over the Disneyland photo from Heather and Terry and the alleged setup with the Paps, which, you know,
are they still talking about that?
From what I heard,
oh,
yes.
You know why? Because they brought it up at the reunion. That's why. Okay. So I was like, didn't we cover this already? She gave us her little story about it.
Right.
Even though we all know that paparazzi are not going to pay admission just to go stand in Disneyland to hopefully catch Heather Dubrow and Terry Smooch.
And on top of that, especially nowadays, there is a bit more, not a lot, but a bit more respect against taking photos of children. And isn't Disneyland supposed to be where children are?
If the price is right, baby. No, but listen, but you have to love that Heather loves herself that much. She believes that was not staged. I do believe that. Even though she staged it, I don't believe she thinks of it as a staging.
Right.
She's so Hollywood still in the way that she tries to approach these, like,
it's like Kyle. Yeah. Like, Heather, people are not like, oh, I need to get a picture of that woman who was on that show with Jenny McCarthy. That's what's going to sell to TMZ.
It's just very strategic. And even just, I just saw Backgrid posted photos of Kyle and Justin Sylvester leaving lunch. Wait. You called them. Stop. I am so tired of this, Caitlin. I can't anymore with it. So many people have come out and said this is how it actually works, and they still pretend. Like, I just was going to CVS to get my prescription. I caught out, and here they are. Those darn paparazzi always find me somehow.
I mean, listen, we know the spots in LA where they hang out, okay? And there are very specific lunch spots, and I'm not just talking about the Ivy, which, listen, if you want to spot a celeb, go to the Ivy, but make sure it's beautiful to sit outside, but go sit inside if you want to actually have a spotting, because that's where they actually sit. But, you know, it's not Maestro's, Nobu. Those are the places. It's not usually like it's not random. They're not sitting outside of Panera. So it's very clear, just like Craig's. If you're going somewhere in Beverly Hills,
pretend like they're not going to Craig's to get photographs.
Like, the food, I'm sure it's great. I can't remember. Maybe I've been there. I can't remember. But come on, if you're really wanting to hide,
just be honest. Look, I sound like Kyle. Just be honest.
Be honest.
Where's my AI vocalizer? I wish I could do it.
God, the way you scared the shit out of me that one day sending it
to me.
That
was hilarious. I thought you would pick up on the fact that it was AI, because there's still some like parts where you're like, oh, it sounds a little odd. But like,
well, no. Y'all, let me tell you about what Giorgio did to me at like 9 a.m. on a Sunday. I get a text from him and he's like, and I don't even think you said anything. It was just an audio. And I'm stupid half the time. Okay. I freely admit it. I'm
Wait,
illogical.
Do I have it?
Because he plays, and I just play it, and it's Kyle Richards' voice. And I'm like, what the
fuck?
And she, play it.
I have it in the chat. Huh? Hold on.
If you don't have it, I know I have it. Because
no,
I was like shitting my pants. And I'm like, and I go, Jay, oh my God. Oh my God. It's Kyle Richards. She sent a message to Giorgio.
What can I do with it? No, it's up here.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere.
No, thanks, Mama.
Here it is. Here it is. Mm-hmm. Get ready, friends. Get ready for what Giorgio sent me.
Hi, Giorgio. I heard you and that girl, Caitlin, on the podcast talking about Mo and Maya's relationship, saying that I'm still hiding something.
And I was like, oh, what? And I was shitting my pants.
It does really, now that I'm not the one playing it back for myself, it really, and over the mic, really does.
And here's what he sends me
disclaimer, next. Disclaimer, everyone, because I will have fun with this clip. But disclaimer, this is, that was not Kyle Richards. That is Kyle AI voice. So just be clear. That is
he sent me another one, though. It's, yes, this is not actually Kyle Richards, but my dumbass wasn't picking up on that immediately. So here's the next one he sends.
You know what, Caitlin? If I have to be honest, because it seems like you can never be honest about what you're doing, all I'm saying is this is an AI version of my sister, Kyle Richards.
I've had way too much fun in AI land lately, clearly.
And until you said that, I was like, oh my God. I pissed off Kyle Richards.
I mean, she loves it, I'm sure.
Anywho, that woke my ass up that Sunday morning.
I should have done a disclaimer, because could you imagine if I just sent it and ghosted you or something and you were sitting with that all day thinking that she was really pissed off at you? Or you see some sort of like...
Oh, no, I would have called you. I would have been like, you call me back right now. I've been dying to figure out a way to get you back for that, but I don't know how.
By the way, if you guys are watching and you're wondering why I have this bandage here, it's because I was massaging Jeff the other day, and I guess I needed, because he was wearing a shirt or the material.
Oh, I was like, did you punch someone?
No, but I would love to punch someone sometimes. No, but I did, it kind of is like a carpet burn, you know, when you've like rubbed and it scabs and it's just like gross looking. But the problem is it's right on my knuckle because I was like kneading.
So then it breaks open.
Every time it gets wet or it just keeps looking ugly and gross, so I just put a bandaid on it. Anyways, just that was way too long of an explanation for that. But we're going to take a quick little break because we do have to talk the Valley. It's getting messy, you guys, but it's so, so good. We'll be right back. Golly Nutrition is an inventive, people-focused nutrition company committed to providing innovative products that make taking your daily supplements simple and delicious. Their products are formulated with quality ingredients you can pronounce and flavors your taste buds will absolutely enjoy. And at the core of it all, they lead with purpose. Golly for Good is an initiative committed to playing a profound role in supporting the health of our planet as well as our local communities. Learn more about their initiatives, such as B Corp certification, Vitamin Angels partnership, and Eden reforestation projects at their Golly for Good page. And if you use my special code, TheGiorgioSays, at checkout, you will receive a special discount. Now let's get back into the episode. All right, my friends, thank you so much for sticking around. Okay, so we need to talk about the Capri chaos that was this latest episode of The Valley. Caitlin, what were your thoughts just overall? Are we still in the same boat? Are we still sat for this show?
I am. Surely, because we know a lot more is coming. We've seen the previews.
Yes.
Oh, Kristen.
Ugh, no.
Girly pop. What? Oh, I...
I want to support her, but she makes it really hard.
When at the dinner, when she says, I can't believe you guys would bring up this racist shit. And everyone's like, are you kidding me? I was like, oh, no, Kristen.
That's why I'm saying it was, you know, episode one and two, I was like, I was right there with her. I was like, you guys are being dicks.
Mean.
Then the last two episodes, I'm like, you know, I'm going to excuse myself and go to the bathroom for this because I can't actually stand up for you here. You are running rapid with that mouth and you really need to reel it in because you are getting hung to paint like a painting at this point. You are saying all the wrong things.
You know, and even when it came to that moment, she was sitting there talking with Zach and with Janet's husband, Jason, and I believe Luke was there. And when Janet comes over after Zach's like, why is Kristen smelling like a Kristen? Why is Janet coming out smelling like roses? And Kristen knew with Janet being pregnant, you can't go after her, which I don't think is totally fair if you're going to stir some shit up, because I think a lot of things were very telling about this. So far, I do like Janet, but Jax is saying Janet and I are very similar, that we like to stir shit up and then stand back and watch, I was like, oh.
I see it. I saw it. You know, at first I was like, wow, they really threw her out there to dry, Janet. But then this little interaction part, I was like, now I don't know. Because you may not have said that word, but you may have very much alluded to that. But because you didn't technically say she was a racist, that is the truth. That is a fact. She is one of those people that you want to watch out for in corporate America.
Mince the words. Yes.
She'll come stand in your office and talk your ear off like she's your friend, but secretly she's going to get you fired.
Well, and did you notice whenever Michelle had called her last week on FaceTime and asked Janet, you know, did you say this? I'm sorry, the second someone gets a smile on their face when they're asked a question and it's something like that, because Janet full-blown smiled and went, what? Now, if someone asked me if I said something like that about someone that I was close to and I know I never said that, I'd be like, are you effing kidding me? No, I would never say that. That's it.
Well, reaction would be, are you fucking joking? Why would I ever think like that's the
I don't think that of
main thing. I don't think that. I don't like that's ridiculous. But yeah, you're right. That's why I'm like, I don't know. But what I will say, Janet, is let's not talk about having stress-free situations, dear. You willingly and very pregnantly signed up to be on a show that was, the idea came from Jax Taylor's brain.
My
where
thoughts
in there
exactly.
Did you think that this was going to be a stress-free zone for you?
And that's the thing too, is it good for you when you're pregnant to be yelling back and forth, to be yelled at? No. If it's in your home on, you know, you're in an, or in a work environment, which this is a work environment, but I felt like in that moment, and this is coming as someone who has been pregnant and given birth and done the whole thing. I just want to remind y'all that I have experienced the whole thing. And when she sat down and Kristen said, well, I don't want to stress you out essentially because you're protecting your baby. And then when she said back to her, since when have you cared about that? What Kristen just said to you, Janet, was, I don't want to get into this with you because I know you're pregnant and you can't, you know. But for Janet to then say, this has been stressing me out. Okay, well, babe, don't go have these conversations. You've known Kristen for how long? Why are you going and having these conversations with her? Or, I mean, if you, Zach, he's very close to Kristen. What makes you think he wouldn't go tell her about that? And this was brought up at a dinner with Brittany and Michelle originally talking about the Don't Say Gay bill. And so I'm kind of like, Janet, I'm starting to see through it.
Hello?
You can deal with a certain amount of stress when you are pregnant. It's not, like I said, it's not good for you, especially if you have certain conditions happening. But she's clearly she's in that second trimester. She's got a lot of good hormones working through her that are actually, at that point, you feel like a normal person and you're things are better for you as long as you're not having other conditions. But I just, something about it, how it was suddenly weaponized, I didn't like that at all.
Well, that's the type, you can tell that's how Janet plays when she's being messy. And that's going to make great TV, but you're going to be pissed off at her at times. Which, listen, I have to say, and I'm being 100% honest right now, for this being such a very new show with a lot of new cast members.
Yeah.
I'm just speaking for myself here. For me to remember all of their names after episode one, without having to be like, wait, what's that guy's name? Or what's, because you know, when it's a new cast of people, you get jumbled when there's like, and there's a lot of couples on this show.
Right.
They've done such a great job of organically making it very easy to just kind of get a glimpse of who each of these people are. So when we do have these interactions that take place that do go off the rails, you kind of can, you start, it's easier to pull back the layers.
Yeah.
Right. Does that make sense what I'm saying? It just feels like it's easier to digest them.
Right.
I'm saying this because I'm so shocked that I'm even saying it, because I really did not give this show an ounce of energy. I wasn't excited for the premiere. I was like, all right, I'll watch, I'll see what it is. But it's really kind of, I'm impressed.
I am too. You know, I think that Jesse aside, because that man infuriates me, and I know he boils your blood as well. But, you know, I think we did need a character like him on there, because somehow he makes Jax not look so awful. But did you, by the way, did you listen to Brittany on the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast that came out yesterday?
I didn't get a chance to, know.
What? Yeah. I mean, I'm believing it is full blown.
Is it really over bad? Like, for real?
She said that whenever they go to record their podcast together, they don't even have small talk in the car because they will get in a fight. She wears headphones and just sits on her phone, and she views it as going to work. Yeah. And she basically said, you know, we're both free to hang out with other people if we want. She's been in that Airbnb since January, and she pays all the bills at the house. He pays the mortgage. This sounds quite imbalanced, to be honest, because she also pays for Cruz's school stuff with her money. They have it very divided. So at least there's that. But he refused to leave the house. She even offered to buy him his Airbnb, and he wouldn't. So she said, fine, I'm leaving then.
Wow.
And I guess he wanted her to move back in, let her have the master bedroom and him take the guest bedroom. He wanted to have a Tom and Ariana situation for themselves while they have a child. There's no avoiding each other like that. It's impossible. But, you know, she also was saying that the whole thing started that where she was like, I'm done, it was her birthday and she didn't want to go out with him. She decided to go out with Kristen. And he flipped out, and it was that next day that everything was over, back in January. So, you know, I think that they are pretty much done. Done.
You know what, though? I hate to say it, but it's for the best.
I agree.
He is not going to be a good husband to her, and she knows that. I think she is at a point where everyone gets to on their own, where the veil lifts and they see it for what it is, and then they're done.
Yeah.
The amount of conversations you can have with a friend that's in a situation similar to something like that, we've all been there. We've all individually ourselves, I'll speak for myself. I've also been in situations where my friends are like, okay, what are you doing?
Yeah. You know, I've been through a divorce.
And you have to deal with it head on sometimes. And I think Brittany sounds like she sounds done. Like, put a fork in her, because listen, you have to imagine too, she's experienced everything you can imagine with this man. So if she's come to this conclusion that she can't move forward with him, I think it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, she was also saying that if any of the stuff that he did previously happened now, she would have been gone already.
Well, I would hope so.
And, you know, them talking about not having sex at all, and how that it kind of bothers me when people go on these shows and say, well, after the baby, we never have sex anymore. But that's on both of y'all. You know, in that first, I would say those, that first 6 months after, that's, you are just trying to survive. I mean, you are in survival mode. Okay. But once you get past kind of that point, things should start going back to a normal pace in that sense for you.
Excuse Bless me. You.
Sorry. I'm in all sorts of issues over here.
That's what makes this podcast authentic. We are real people dealing with real life.
We have bodily functions as well.
We sneeze.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens with them filming after this, because
are they going to do a reunion? You think they have to?
I was wondering the same thing, because even on this podcast, Brittany was like,
"Would be JX. Wild."
Yeah, Brittany was saying JX is going to kill me for saying that. Like, truly, she was. You should listen.
I'm gonna go listen to it after this. Actually,
yeah.
Like, I was wondering too, because when she was on Watch What Happens Live, she kind of sounded. She was pretty set the way it was. Like, she wasn't being like, well, you never know. We're just taking some space. Like, she was pretty, it sounded like not good. So, not getting better either. Yeah.
And that's the thing. After you become parents, yes, dynamics change and you start viewing every behavior that your partner does differently, because you know your child will pick up that behavior eventually, because kids are all about the modeling that their parents display. That's why so many people act just like their parents, or they act the exact opposite because they saw what they did and knew it wasn't good. So that would be the concern at that point. If Jax is yelling, freaking out over everything, then Cruz is going to pick that up. He's at that age where he wants to monkey see, monkey do, especially with dad.
Or the other side of it, which brings us to the next scene, is we find out that Cruz is kind of shut down. He's not being vocal. He's not really speaking anymore.
He's regressed from what it sounds like.
Yeah. And so they have, you know, someone come by to kind of help, you know, I don't think tutor is the right word, but kind of, you know,
occupational therapy.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Try to get him to use those expressions and speak and make some noise. And he eventually did try to make some verbal movement. But the one thing that stuck out to me, and I don't know if you picked up on this, was, and I'm not a parent, so please don't come after me, guys. I'm just looking at it from where I was sitting. But it almost felt more like this was more egotistical than it was. I'm not saying they don't care, okay? I obviously know that they absolutely, that's not a question. But in that moment, for me, it felt like, come on, Cruz, we really need you to fix that, because it's really making us feel bad about us. Like, it felt like it was more on. And I get, if you're the parent, you would kind of feel that way, right?
You do. You feel like you've done something wrong, you know? And it is, I think why it maybe came off that way for you, it might be because Jax had mentioned comparing children. And I understood what he was saying. Listen to me defending Jax at this moment.
No, it's real.
When you are comparing, like, there is a sinking feeling when you see other kids your own child's age doing something more advanced, and you feel like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? And it's not even like you're sitting there being like, their kid is better. It's like, oh shit, is there something wrong with them? Because, and I want to say this as gently and compassionately as I can, when kids are around the 2 to 3 age, that's when things, a lot of times, like autism, can be screened. And that's when the symptoms of autism typically show. And so it's a very scary time when something's like that's happening. If you remember Jacqueline Lurita, her son, Nicholas, he was talking and then he stopped.
Yeah.
And that's when they discovered. Now, I'm not saying Cruz has that. Every child is completely different. And there are so many different types, I should say, and degrees and different ways autism can present in any human being. I would say that, you know, them bringing over a speech therapist, that was a good start. But I also have a feeling that Cruz probably isn't used to these big cameras. And it depends on the person, you know. I know my kid would either be running away screaming or he'd be right in the freaking middle of everything, screaming his head off, as in like, woo, let me put on a show. So it just, everyone responds differently. I think that what they were saying, though, was more so you can't help, but because you look for where's my kid supposed to be at. I mean, even I remember McCoy, my son, he has his little best friend. She's, I think, not even 6 months older than him. And she's able to paint stars and triangles and houses. And, you know, McCoy's like a scribble and he's like, Cookie Monster. I'm like, is that who? Okay. Is that who you see? What have you? But I have to remind myself too, boys and girls do advance differently when they're younger. That is typical, but it's scary as hell because it comes from a place of not that you would be embarrassed of your kid, at least for me, having any type of, you know, delay or anything that's not of anything on the neurodivergent spectrum. It's more that you just want them to not have anything be difficult for them. And it's about just wanting everything to be as easy and joyful and happy as possible. Mm-hmm. And you start thinking about things like school and interacting with other kids and, you know, LA, oh my God, you even have to pay for public schools. That's what I remember. Jay and I were told that one time by our neighbors. They were like, yeah, you have to, it's, and we were like, but it's public school, your tax dollar. No, you have to pay. So on top of that, they're going to need to be sure wherever he goes, if this continues, that they have a good program. There's so much that it's like, oh my God, you catastrophize. And
I need to write this down as one more reminder to not have children. Oh, gosh.
Listen,
I can I just tell you, the other day I was, for like 6 solid minutes, I had baby fever. I had it. I understood for the first time what that was. I saw like maybe 15 like TikToks of somebody caressing a baby, and all of a sudden I was just like enamored with the like thought of what that would be like. And I was like, but then it went away because I was like, you know.
Listen, if you need a friend to convince you or not,
I get it. I can give you both sides. I know that I would be, there would be no, I would have to take the la-la route. I would have to do it myself. Mm-hmm. I don't want someone else weighing in. I'm sorry. I just know that I would know the way, and I would have to just. I got it. I don't need your buy-in, but that's not how, you can't do that if you're two people involved. But I'm just saying, like, I totally.
Well, so some partnerships, though, it can be that one person is the researcher and the person who presents, here are the facts of why I think we need to do things this way. And a lot of times it works when the other person says, okay, thank you for the information. We'll do it that way. I agree. Basically, that's the way my son's father and I parent is like, I'm like, no, we're doing this, this, and this because of this. And he's like, all right, cool. So it's kind of the same thing.
We're not doing that. Well, you know, I just hope that they can at least, and it sounds like they are, I hope that they can at least come together, at least for Cruz's sake, and that they're not pouring that toxicity into him because I'm sure that it's challenging to not fight in front of your kid. If I mean, obviously your kid lives in the house with you, so how are you getting around that? But it sounds like there is probably moments also where things get out of hand, and I'm not going to be dumb and think that that kid is not hearing those things. So part of me watching for a split second was like, I wonder if the kid is shutting down because it's too...
Yeah.
You know, sometimes kids are overly sensitive, and so they regress, and not maybe because of other issues, but maybe because of purely just feeling like, oh, I don't want to get in that. That's not what that's...
Being in that type of environment from... even if they're a newborn, it can absolutely cause delays for the child because it's a stress mechanism that's fired off in their brain. Now, there's something to be said for having healthy fights that have a good resolution in front of your children at a certain age, because that's how children learn how to have healthy disagreements with partners. And that can be incredibly beneficial for them, showing that you don't have to go low, that you can find ways to compromise. And that is imperative once kids reach a certain age to see that. Even if you and your partner have just kind of a play, quote unquote, fight, a disagreement that shows how you resolve. Because if they think that they're watching and they're in on something, that is very educational for them. But at that age, if there's yelling, they absolutely shut down. And that you're not off base for wondering if that may have been a contributing factor. You know, there are so many studies that show, now I'm not saying this was happening in their home, so please, and we've never heard that this happened in their home whatsoever. So this is not even pertaining to them, but things like if there's domestic violence that causes severe delays, like I said, even if a child is a brand newborn, because the cortisol that goes out in their brain, because they know something's wrong.
Yeah.
That causes that as well. So it's something to consider, you know, how you behave in front of your kids.
Maybe perhaps that is what I was picking up on. Maybe they feel like they have contributed, maybe at least Brittany. There was a look on her face that felt like, yes, I get it. It's her kid. She's going to feel responsible in any capacity. But there was a different... Her energy was just up a little bit more on the like, did I do this? Did we do this?
You're that way about everything with your kids too, though. Everything.
Did we do this?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then I would flash back to those screaming matches. And then I'd be like, oh my God. I would see, this is why I couldn't that would demolish me. Because
it does.
And
every little mistake you make as a parent,
challenging, you know, to then have to then try to fix what you ultimately broke. Let's be honest.
Listen,
in most cases, I'm not saying, but
every little thing you've done wrong when you're a parent that you can sit there, I mean, and replay in your head. Oh my God. But, you know, at the end of the day, kids are resilient. They're not. You're not going to ruin your child from one or two things like that. It sounds like they've done, you know, and they're getting him the support he needs in that sense. And sometimes kids are just that way. They just will confuse the living hell out of you. I swear to God, someone told me once when it came to kids and when things were really hard, just when you think you can't take another second of the phase that they're in, they move on to the next one. And that is so true. I mean, that you will be at your brink of something, of stressing over something or your fear. And you're like sitting there going, well, he can't count to three. He's not counting to five. And you're freaking out over that. And then suddenly it's the very next day. They count to eight. And you're like, what the hell? Why couldn't you have done this a few days ago? I would have had more sleep. And that's just kind of how it is. But I absolutely can see where you're going with that. And, you know, my thing is, I doubt Jax did that type of research to be curious if any of their fights, if anyone did, it would have been Brittany. So it is an astute observation to wonder if that's where she was at.
Well, I mean, it seems like, and maybe it's the show, right? Maybe something during filming the show, she really, something got taken off her eyelids and she was just like, wait a second. This is a nightmare. I don't want to raise my child. You know, I think back to that moment on the Kardashians way back when it was Kourtney and Kim take Miami, or Kourtney and Khloe take Miami, and Kim was visiting, and Scott Disick had that massive
meltdown
and went into the bathroom and punched the mirror of the medicine cabinet, and they like scurried the baby, Mason, everyone's like it was, that was a real moment. I do believe that was a real moment.
Yeah.
And I remember, I don't remember if it was the day after or a couple days after, where she's on the phone with Scott and she said, because he's like, but I love you, you know, I want to work this out. And she's like, I love Mason more than I love you. So that's who I'm going to be prioritizing. I don't care anymore about your problems. And I think that's kind of where Brittany may have been at.
Yes.
As well. Like, it's like, well, now hold on a second. We have a son who needs someone to advocate for him and not be busy fighting with you because you're doing X, Y, Z. So she had to make a decision. But I do wonder if it correlates to the filming of this show, because it mm-hmm. probably was a little bit of a different experience because they are a little bit more centered.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Vanderpump Rules, there was a lot more people and storylines to kind of swim behind.
More main characters, yeah.
We know who these two are, so we know that the production's going to make them the focal point and build everyone around them. So obviously, filming this was probably a little bit more intrusive than it may have been in the
previously.
Past.
Yeah, with your kid. I mean, you know, in my mind, I, as a parent of a toddler, I'm thinking about all these people walking in the home, and that is a lot. Like, even if you've had parties at your house, but these are people who are going to be pointing a camera at you, and they're not going to be looking down at the ground, making sure they're not stepping on him. And he's probably, I mean, because his world is way down here looking up. And so I imagine that also, see, this is why I don't know that I could put my child that young on a reality show like that. And I'm not knocking anyone who does, honestly. It's just personally, I would be too stressed out with that type of setting. I'd be like worried someone would step on him, trip over him. And you know, people are not watching their mouths. And at that age, as soon as he starts picking up those phonics, you know what words are going to be coming right back out if he's been hearing that. And it's a lot.
For me, I wouldn't do it past the point of them being able to walk and talk. Because if you have an infant, like, give me a break. Like, not much going to happen there. It's a baby, right?
Yeah.
But when they start being able to walk and talk and have a little personality, I think it starts to get a little bit intrusive without their permission, because they don't understand what's actually happening in the moment. And so my thing is, I always think back to them, like, what if you're like, you grew up on some reality show and you grew up and you're like, you despised everything about that show and you never would have done anything like that. But here you are, known
forever and
for
ever.
This show that you didn't ask to be. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that is where I would be hung up. Like, well, I understand that the child is part of the package, but, you know, to quote the Kardashians, keep the children in the back. Like, they're a background shot, not a focal point.
That's the thing.
Very much opt for that to not be a storyline.
But this show is different that way. They, you know, it's not like Housewives where
they have creative control too. They can say, like,
right. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. I'm noticing, I guess, is so different about the Valley compared to Real Housewives, where we are getting families in there, is the kids are not so much the focal point as they are on this show. Mm-hmm. You know, things like, can you imagine it? Well, I don't want to jump ahead to too far in the scenes. When Jesse was talking about his previous sex life with Michelle in front of Isabella, who is 3 years old. And y'all, 3 years old, she's hearing about how he would tie her mother up and pour hot wax on her back. I'm surprised she didn't say, "What, is mommy okay?" Like, what? That is, I just, like, can you imagine when she's older, if she has to hear about that again?
This is where I would be uncomfortable, because it's like, I don't want to have a scene like this. I don't want my kids around for an adult conversation.
No.
Everybody, now we are jumping ahead, but that's okay because we're going to. No, no, it's fine. I don't care. I'm not one to always go in chronological order as long as the gist is out. But, mm-hmm. you know, before we get to that part, there is a scene where we do for the first time this season see Michelle and Jesse kind of not hate each other, but for a very weird reason on Jesse's part. So this is where I'm like, okay, you are a fucking creep, like, kinky weirdo dude that is like one of those guys that was like shorter than all his friends and always had to be the loudest one. I already can tell, okay? Yeah. So he goes, well, when you like got up and started yelling at everyone, that chair flew back. I was so turned on. I was just like, oh, so that's what this is all about? You just want to rev her up so that she finally loses her and I'm sure she wants to do what she did to Kristen in that moment to him. A lot of times, let's be honest, because some of that was a little deflecting. Sorry, Michelle, I'm not buying that you're some perfect, innocent human here. I know things are being laid out in a way where you're looking like a victim, but I don't necessarily think that you're completely innocent. Based on the fact that you thought that the Don't Say Gay bill was a good idea for children. Nonetheless, the point is, these two are a classic case of toxic relationships that went on too long. And she even says it was a booty call that never ended. And that's exactly the energy that we're getting from these two. That is the perfect title for it. A booty call that never ended. Because honestly, you said it yourself. You met him for coffee. You knew he wasn't the one. So how did you end up marrying this man, then putting a baby out with him?
Ain't that the question? Because I
was under the impression that you guys met and then maybe like he was
at least
one
liked
way,
each other.
And then you guys just booty called and he stuck around.
Yeah. It was odd to me. Because of course living in LA, it's a totally different thing. But at that point, living in LA, you have to get down to the crux of people's personalities because so many people are beautiful there. If you understand what I mean by that, and it's easy to find a beautiful person, but it's also easy to find more beautiful assholes there. I'm not saying other states don't have pretty people, but Jesus, before anyone comes after me. But that being said, it's like a totally different environment than being somewhere else dating. And I'm sorry, but did you notice how it was only about how she was going to put Isabella down for bed that night? And there was no offer to help her. Then he lets her know, well, he's going to an event. And it's like, this man wants all the perks of being married and being a father without actually having to do anything. And he also was making fun of her, saying that she shoved her chair back. Well, your chair went flying. They replayed it. I'm like, is there a chair?
It barely tipped over. Are you kidding me? Like, he is just, you know what the thing is? And I realized this when he brought up his little kink fetish, where he clearly wants to be treated like garbage, it sounds like. So of course you do, because those are the types of guys that typically like to be tied up to a wall and beaten senseless.
I mean,
but nonetheless, the thing that stood out after this was that Janet now has this event called, for the Be the Match Foundation, because her friend Jared was, able to find a match that saved his life with stem cell research and all that wonderfulness. And so this event is very important to her. But the seating charts are a bit tricky because we do have the issue with Kristen and what table are we putting her at, so we don't have any drama, because she wants to ensure that the event is not overtaken by the Kristen drama.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm noticing this very, it's so calculating, Janet, and I'm starting to see it. This episode, it was crystal clear to me, because I was like, oh. And I think if Jax had not said that, I probably would have overlooked it completely.
Same. Same.
But as soon as he said it, my eyes twitched and looked at her differently ever since. And so now everything is like, yeah, what are really up to, Janet, you know? But,
yeah,
you know, ultimately, like, I think she's playing ball, so I appreciate that. Right. Mm-hmm. She clearly is ready for this moment, because sometimes you get these groups of people on these shows and you can tell they have no idea what they're supposed to do. And there's just a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
But Janet, I feel, is going to, I think, really be bringing a lot to the show as a.
I agree.
A personality.
She may drive us nuts a few times, you know, for because. Sure. The way she also said, yeah, well, Kristen has known Jared longer, technically, but we've been closer. Jared and I have become closer. And I'm like,
she's so petty.
It's interesting to me. Yeah, you could have just said, yeah, Kristen's known him for many years and he and I are very close. Like, it wasn't. So she's looking for any opportunity to take a dig at Kristen as well. It ain't just Kristen.
Hey, look, it's an easy storyline, right?
Yeah.
So, but speaking of Kristen, she has a little, you know, little chit chat with Luxies on, you know, she's had to see her therapist twice just over this group of people in the last week. So, you know, Godspeed, Kristen, because you've gotten yourself into another mess, I think. This season has really been something with her, and she, and you know, we're gonna get to the Kristen eyes, and if you know what the Kristen eyes are, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. We got some of those at the end of this episode, but we get the fellas, the dads, if you will, mm-hmm. in a scene where they're all going with their kids, they're all doing like the dad thing, and we get them trying to, you know, Danny's trying to figure out how to put the car seat in, and there's no clips, and he's got a YouTube it. And already my anxiety is through the roof, because yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I would cancel all of this and say, you guys go, just leave the kids here, please. It would be so much easier. My anxiety would be through the roof watching them pack that minivan up. Are you kidding?
Putting in a car seat is so stressful, because you're like, all you can imagine is if you get in a wreck, how safe is the seat? And you're like, my child, I'm surely going to get in a wreck with my child in the car. And if I don't do this just right, and you hear people saying, oh, you can't do this with the car seat, you can't do that. And I'm like, could someone, I'm sorry, this is something that stresses me the fuck out. I need someone to give a free guide, because they say, oh yeah, go to your local fire station. They'll check your car seat out. No, they won't. They don't know every make and model of car seat out there.
No, and
there's
nowadays,
no one to go to.
Those clips that would normally be there in the back seat are not easy to find always. And they're in a very inconspicuous place now, because everything is tidy.
Or it's on the hook behind the seat.
Right.
You can have that as the anchor too. So it's like, and if you're not on a perfectly level street, there's like a little level inside of it. And if it's not level, whenever you're on a perfectly level street, then you've done it wrong.
Yes. And then one side can move more, and then you have.
You can't let them wear a jacket in there.
Where's my notebook? Another reason not to have a child. The stress of just getting in and out of the car with it would be, I would have a meltdown every day.
When I first had McCoy, and he would scream when he was really little, like newborn, and I would have to get him in his Duna car seat. Let me tell you, the number of times I actually did start crying and sweating my ass off trying to get, I mean, it was July, but still July and August, I finally had to tell myself, if you don't slow down and just take a breath, you're going to have a nervous breakdown every time you get this kid in the car, and you can't live like that. And so finally I just started going, you know what? I don't give a shit if anyone's waiting for my space. I don't care where I have to be. I will take my time, because I could not take it. It can be that stressful. Yes. Some people, they're fine. It's not a big deal. So it's like I said, if you ever want a reason to have a kid, I will give you plenty. If you ever want a reason not to, I will also give you plenty.
I don't know. My list is simply outweighing the pros here. No, I mean, look, I'm sure they all do fine, right? And we've all seen those dads at the park where we're like, are you going to get those kids home safely? You know what I mean? But they end up getting them home safe. They always figure it out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the conversation that takes place, we start to find out that these guys need to really be paying Danny for hourly sessions every week. This man, I mean,
Nia, that's why his wife likes him.
If you are listening, get that man's phone and throw it in the garbage can. He doesn't need one. The amount of women that are going to be throwing their little kitty cats at Danny after watching him talk about love language.
Good man.
Excuse me?
Good man.
Excuse me, Danny boy? Are you literally trying to have every single woman bang down your door right now?
It was precious.
And you're a dad who loves to sit back and take care of the babies while your wife goes and does her... Like, what else, Danny? Did you rob a bank in the 90s? I mean, there's got to be something.
Now, she does have to put up with the Walking Dead noises coming out of their closet occasionally.
Listen, I'll take it.
I'll
take the fucking walk. You sound like a zombie for 3 hours a day, sweetie. If that's what you're doing, it's totally fine.
The way Jax was like, what is that, like a game? Is it like did you have
he
to go
knows
to CVS
what
for
it
that?
Is. He was
I know,
being,
like, Jax, this
so
is not
stupid.
An STD test, okay?
You do it at CVS?
Jesus. Go online.
Problem
it takes
is,
10
is
minutes.
Jax is not someone that's going to take the time to get to know Brittany, and he never has. He wanted a sex object who then turned into a wife and then coincidentally now a mother, and he doesn't view her as the same sexy Brittany that he met at Hooters, and that's Jax's problem. That's always been Jax's problem, which is why he does cheat on her. And I do believe that he still cheats on her.
Did we not
miss how he was staring at that bartender that came in that they
with
were
no
definitely
bra.
Not going to hire, but he couldn't keep his eyes off her rack. And
well,
it's like,
and listen, I am all for whatever is comfortable for you as a bra wearer. There are days I wish I didn't have to do it. I think that maybe like a job interview should at least be a line, and people may roast me for that, but come on, like you're at a job interview. I don't care.
Well, I'm going to be honest. If I was a woman that needed a bartending job and Jax was going to be the potential boss, I'm not wearing a bra either. Okay? Mama's got bills to pay. I get it. But I'm just saying, also, with the history that Jax has, the last thing you'd be fucking doing is opening a goddamn bar, sir.
Agreed.
You,
and he views it as his own
bar,
little...
You're gonna go live there. That's what I would say.
He views it as his own little kingdom, and he just holds court there. I guess they'll watch Vanderpump Rules, and he'll like, yeah, this is the most scripted show on television. I mean, first six, seven seasons, never scripted. It was all real. He had a mic sitting at a table
clip.
In his bar.
But the thing with that is, Jax, you played into it too because it benefited you. And then when it didn't anymore, now you have all these things to say. So, I mean...
And the minute you stepped foot on our TV again in the Valley, all I had to say about you, Jax, was how contrived you are. And I couldn't decide if it was that you've always been that way or you don't know how to be on reality TV again. So I find it really rich that you'd be calling Vanderpump Rules scripted.
Well... Okay. Apparently, according to Jax, it is. But
that's
we
got to
talk about Luke and Kristen's life plan, because I'm not clear anymore as, like, I don't think they really are ready to do this family thing because they can't even decide
where to live.
Yeah. And they also, am I crazy? I ask this question a lot when I watch 90 Day. I always do that. You guys are just now talking about this. This is when you decide to figure out what location you possibly could settle in. But shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't you get settled somewhere and be like, we're cool here, right? We can have a family here, right? No? Oh, we should talk about that before we plop a baby in the oven, perhaps.
Colorado and Los Angeles are two totally different places.
I
mean, it is. And from what it seems, he has a huge amount of land that he lives. I can't even remember where it said that he lived in Colorado, but it looks very much mountainous. I mean, it is different. It is very different. And he is very anti-LA. So what are you going to do?
See, this is the problem with her. She wants an old-fashioned type man, right? But an old-fashioned type man doesn't want to live in Los Angeles, babes. No. So no. You're in a little bit of a pickle, Kristen, because to his point, it's very much more expensive to raise a child in Los Angeles. And from where he's from and what he has in terms of assets, I don't see that type of man wanting to put
$1 million
down on a 1,200 square foot home in the valley.
Denver's getting very close to Los Angeles prices in that regard.
But if he already has all the land already.
Exactly. That's the thing. And Kristen also was like, well, I cannot leave LA. Like, dude, she just got back on TV. She has a job now.
I know.
She cannot leave.
No, what are you talking about? She's in Colorado, Luke. You knew what this was.
I mean, go out to, I don't know, Rancho Cucamonga if you need to be somewhere that is not Los Angeles.
Or sell some of that land because the price is good and then put that down on something and maybe split your time.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we do the summers and fall in Los Angeles and the winters we do in Colorado or the other way around. I don't know.
I would do it the other way around.
Okay. Yeah. That probably sounded really crazy. Like, yeah. You know, you should obviously do the other way around. But I'm saying, like, I think I just was blown away. I was like, oh my gosh, you don't have this figured out and you're ready to put a baby in the oven and you don't even know where you're going to live. Insanity.
But at the same time, if they want to do it, go ahead and do it. Just make sure that you at least are of the same mind when it comes to how you want to raise that child. At least the very basic stuff. Like, you got to do the politics, religion, that whole talk. And I mean, I have a strong feeling that Luke is rather conservative, but that might just be me being judgy and, you know, looking at the cover of that book before getting to know it. And I'm not saying that in a negative way about him, because you don't have to be only right or left. But what I do wonder is things like, what if, you know, health-wise, what if something goes wrong during the pregnancy? That's the stuff you have to talk about that's really uncomfortable. And I don't know that they're at that point yet, but I mean, I don't know what they expect to do. Like, he at least maybe agreed to live in LA with her for like a year or two and rent out his place in Colorado. I don't know.
I would assume he agreed because she's doing the show and that.
No, I'm saying, but if they could agree to that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I think she kind of said, like, I can't do it this year or the year after, or the year after that, or the year after that. But after that, maybe. I don't know. I think there's got to be a middle ground. It's not Colorado. It's not Los Angeles, but somewhere in the vicinity. Vegas.
Nobody living in Vegas with a kid. Sorry.
Canada. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time of, you know, Luke and Kristen not being able to come to any agreement on where they're going to live, at the same time, Brittany and Danny. God, Danny is such... He is...
I was thrown off for a second. I was like, you are not about to hand your wife roses in a trash can, are you? But then when
But even that was cute. I was like, you little stinker. You just, you're doing all the right things and no one's even asking you anything. You're just fucking going around buying all these roses and picking the petals off. Like, who? Get out of here, Danny.
I just love that couple. Please don't.
They're so darn cute, man.
Please don't prove us wrong in any way.
I know next year they're gonna be like indicted on. No, I'm joking.
Please, God, no. We love that couple. No,
protect them at all costs. They are such a fantastic little family unit. They're too damn cute for their own.
She seems so kind. Like, she's so beautiful.
She was the only one feeling sorry for Kristen. Then you know she's kind.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, wait a second. Maybe things got lost in translation.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
listen,
Nia, sit it out, okay? A little perfect family.
I mean, honestly, like, it's so hard to believe that someone that gorgeous could be that sweet, but I think, and she's interesting. So
yeah, she's got a great personality. She's very well-rounded, and they both seem like healthy people. Like, it's just, you know what it is? It's odd that we're watching healthy.
We're not used to it.
Beings that have dealt with their shit and moved on and are deciding to live a happy life. We're like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Like a couple that actually respects each other and is kind to each other and listens to the other person. Like, wow, we're so used to toxicity.
I know. It's really crazy because we were so used to watching it on our screens.
Yeah.
A couple are like, okay, this is going to end in divorce. But it's time for Luke to shower Kristen with some love. So Danny so nicely picks all these rose petals so that he can go with Brittany while Luke and Kristen are at dinner and set up this little massage table and the rose petals. But then we don't actually get to see her enjoy or like.
I was stressed. She's going to think he's proposing. Oh my God. She's going to be so mad because she's going to think he's proposing.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I immediately was like, oh shit. I was like, oh my God, don't
maybe
do this.
That's
she's
why
think.
We didn't see it because maybe she thought it was and then felt stupid and then was pissed off, maybe.
That's right.
Oh, I would be like, oh my God, yes. And then
you're
be
talking
like,
about
massage.
Having kids. Wouldn't you think that?
That's what I'm saying. Like maybe, yeah, I didn't even look at it that way, but I would have been like, oh, maybe this isn't a good idea if you're not planning on putting a ring on it, Luke.
They were trying, I guess, because she was ovulating. They were wanting to set the mood for her to try and get pregnant.
Okay, but then go put rose petals on the bed.
Yeah.
Don't lead it all through the house. That's an engagement pathway. Vibe, not a let's make a baby vibe. I don't know. I'm just saying now that you pointed it out, now I'm like, oh yeah, that didn't look good at all. I'm just gonna in my head, that's why we didn't see the scene, because she probably was like, oh
yeah.
Oh, but we do find out that they did consummate their love. And everything's, you know, was okay, I guess. And now it's, you know, it's the gala. It's the event. It's the whole thing that we've been, you know, Janet's been planning. She's stressed about what table. People are trying to avoid Kristen like the plague.
Zach, it was the Birkenstocks she wore. What the?
Those Birkenstocks. I hope to God she didn't show up in those and that she just
she
put them on. Are
she got
you
out of the car in
kidding
them?
Me, Kristen Doty.
She got out of the car in them.
She's playing games. She's playing games now. I did not notice that. I would have been very upset had I seen her. I missed it. I only saw at the end because I was like, why is she wearing oh, maybe because her feet are tired at the end of the event.
Or
that
just,
makes sense.
You could put on pretty sandals. You don't have to wear heels, but like some pretty strappy sandals.
Even Pappy Hilton's like fucking hotel slippers would have done.
But beige Birks.
With that sparkly whatever she was wearing. What was she wearing? I forgot what she was wearing. She
black, just a simple black dress. And then she had, I don't know if it was her purse or some sort of like.
That weird shaggy thing was throwing me off. Was that a purse or a shawl?
I don't know. That's what I can't figure out. And Jesse's dinner jacket.
Oh my God. That jacket, by the way, is not for that event. I'm sorry.
No.
Like, you are about to go host a game of Monopoly and do blow.
Zach was on point.
Zach
he looked
it.
Like he was going to do a line across the whole bar in Miami in the 80s. I mean, it was like.
You know
I loved
he does.
Him. Oh,
you
totally.
Know he goes skiing on the regular, babes.
Absolutely. Now, Michelle, no notes. She looked fantastic. It was like a
totally.
Modernized version. This isn't a fashion podcast, but I just had to talk about it for a second. I loved it because it was
we
like
love fashion here. Don't get
yes,
it
we do. She elevated that very famous How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days yellow dress, but it was elevated and I loved it. And I thought she looked amazing. I like her sense of style so far. She's very chic, but it's like that.
Yeah.
Old money type of chic. And Jesse is, I don't know,
he always to me comes off like he just did an eight ball and just like busted into the rooms like, what are we doing now? Like, you know what I mean? Like that
like,
type of guy.
Like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah. Like he comes out of nowhere and he just starts yelling at you about a bunch of shit because it randomly hit him because he just did a bunch of lines in the back.
That's like, what happened to his jacket. He ran through the room and someone must have been painting or drinking a Kool-Aid and he just got hit every which way. And that's how the jacket turned out how it did.
Either that or he busted it through a paint and sip and just like crashed through everyone's fucking painting and just was like, here we go.
I'm just imagining it now.
Let's go to be the match. So the event looked nice and it, obviously for a good cause, and there was seemingly no drama at the event. So that's a pro for Janet. But we have this moment where Zach is, you know, he turns to Michelle and he takes accountability for his part in it. And, you know, she's like, it's fine. You're gay. You know, that's what you guys do, apparently. But Kristen, on the other hand, can die. Like, it was just like very like, okay, he was also a part of it. He's one who told her and you just let him go like very easy.
See, I took it that she didn't even give a shit that they were. Sorry, you got me with that one. You guys are gay. That's just what you do. I don't think she even gave a shit that they were talking shit about her at all. I don't think she cared.
No, it was about the racist word.
Yeah, because I'm sure the other things were true. I have a feeling
that's why she's not arguing with anything else.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying I think she's racist and not every single Republican is a racist, obviously, just like Zach, Jax, Jesse, Jesus.
All of them.
Just like Zach had said, that doesn't always equal that. There's just been some people who are vocal in that realm. I'm trying not to say everyone together as being
the same. But we don't know. So we can't just make things up because we would assume. We can assume a lot about a lot of things. We can assume Luke is probably backwards in the way that he views things. But we don't know that. And we are still getting to know these people. And truth be told, if there's something lying beneath those bushes, dear, they'll come crawling out somehow. So don't worry.
Always.
But, you know, Zach wants to also, in turn, you know, in my opinion, I think Zach let Kristen take the fall for what he implied. But that's a whole other story. I do enjoy Zach, but I do think he got scared in the moment because when
that's it.
He realized that this was actually a TV show that was going to air, he pulled back. And I think that's why Kristen said that to him. She was like, you literally steamrolled me, dude. Like, I don't even know you right now, because I don't think she's lying. And I do think that her word usage of repeating is correct. I don't think that she minced her words. I don't think she misunderstood. But it seems that she's not going to be able to migrate from using the word repeat. And she refuses to pretend like she made the whole thing up, which I agree with. If you didn't make it up, you shouldn't be pretending like you did just for the sake of whatever. It happened. It was said. But, you know, Jesse and Michelle agree that they will go outside and they'll have a calm, what hopefully will be a calm conversation, and Kristen can say her piece. They go outside. Kristen's wearing her god-awful Birkenstocks and that shaggy little whatever that is. And she goes in right to Michelle and she's like, you know, I love you. You know me. I would never do something to purposely hurt you. I know this was hurtful and I'm sorry for repeating it. And she's like, that's where I'm going to stop you. It's the repeating, because everyone's saying that they didn't say that. So, and she's like, well, actually, we kind of wrapped that conversation up the other night and everyone kind of took accountability. So I'm sorry for repeating. That's what I'm going to say. She let Michelle know also earlier, I have been protecting you because I think now it's making a little bit more sense. I think Michelle has probably said some out of pocket shit was repeated on a mic in front of a camera, obviously would not look good to the audience. So I think Kristen was reminding her gently, hey girl, remember, watch it.
A bit of a threat, I'm not going to lie.
Maybe move on a little quicker. Because if I say what I really want to say, you'll be real mad. because then I'll unleash the whole thing. Like, I don't know.
She's
what
clearly
those things
going
are.
To at some point.
Well,
she's going to, because you see Michelle yelling at her, like, you've done to my marriage.
I think Michelle confided in Kristen about her marriage issues and probably said, I am going to pull the trigger and leave this man. I don't know why, but I think that I think Michelle, whether she realized beginning to film the show or midway through or towards the end, that she was definitely going to leave this man. And I don't know what was said. And it seems like there was a lot of things maybe filmed for the sizzler when they keep referring to, we all talked about each other behind each other's backs. I'm thinking back to the sizzler. Maybe there was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Where they were having these interactions and stuff, and maybe people are trying to say, like, okay, I don't know, something's off about this. Kristen's very much, and so is Zach, because Zach did not push back on her about it either in the moment. So I think my theory could be right. I think Zach did allude. I don't know if he used the word racist. Okay, I'll give him that. I don't think mm-hmm. he did. But there's many ways you can call someone a racist without actually saying they're a racist, is what I will say. And I think that's what
that
we have.
Someone
here.
Might be a bit bigoted. Someone might have certain...
microaggressive, somewhere mm-hmm. along the lines of those types of behaviors. Yeah. I mean, one might say, I mean, even like, yeah, Zach did not, he could instantly in that moment be like, no, I never, he didn't.
I'm going to
tell
you.
Unless they cut it out, but I don't think they would, because they're clearly gunning to make Chris like the asshole. So,
right. You know, I had, now this is alleged and just a bunch of little comments and blind item type of things. So it's not something that I can say like, oh, this is, well, what I heard, but there have just been rumblings is the best way I could put it, that maybe Michelle had been seeing someone on the side. Now, no clue if it's true whatsoever at all, but that would also make some sense.
There you have it, my friends. There you have it.
No idea. It could be completely false. Not trying to put out any false information, just repeating.
We're just repeating what we heard, like Kristen did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think we are on a good roll here with the show.
Agreed.
They're not missing a beat on these episodes, I'll tell you, because I am glued to what's happening, and that is always a good sign.
Yeah.
But that concludes the recap for Capri Chaos, The Valley. Caitlin, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This is such a fun treat. Remind everyone where they can find you.
I am Besties by Caitlin on Instagram and TikTok. And I usually am capable of speaking, but apparently not right now. And that's C-A-I-T-L-I-N for Caitlin. And you can listen to Besties by Bravo, my podcast, anywhere you listen, iTunes, Spotify, all of it. And every Thursday, Giorgio and I together will go live on YouTube. Currently, we're doing Vanderpump Rules because we're covering The Valley here. But you can always join us live on YouTube, Besties by Bravo. It's usually, we aim for it to be at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard. Sometimes we're a little late because we're chatty Cathys. What can I say? But that being said, I'm just always so happy to be here with you. It's so fun.
Such a good time.
We just always have a good time. Yeah.
Totally. Well, and thank you to all of you for listening. And just another reminder, the Patreon is almost ready to launch. I'm just filling up the feed with a bunch of content right now. And when that's ready to launch, I will definitely let you guys know. And if you guys would like to leave a 5-star review for this podcast,
just do it.
I wouldn't argue with you. I mean, we are pretty consistent, pretty damn good over here at Georgia Says. I'm not going to toot my own horn. I'm just joking.
I'll toot it for you.
Thank you guys always for the support and you guys tuning in. I mean, you guys are so amazing to me, and this is why I continue doing this on a higher and higher level. Mm-hmm. So with that, I will leave you guys on this, what I hope is a beautiful Wednesday for all of you. And I'll talk to you guys on the next episode. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening, guys and gals. This was Giorgio Says. Like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for all the latest updates, go follow Giorgio Says on Instagram. See you next time.